Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 42. The Mystery of His Will. The Even Control. Scriptures. And Jehovah God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And Jehovah commanded the man, saying, You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Genesis 2, verses 15 to 17, Modern King James Version. O Jehovah, until when shall I cry, and you will not hear? I cry for you out of violence, and you do not save. Why do you show me evil, and you look on your toil? For destruction and violence are before me. And there is strife, and contention rises up. Therefore the law has become helpless, and justice does not always go forth. For the wicked entraps the righteous, therefore justice goes forth, being perverted. Look among the nations, and behold, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, not even if it is declared to you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, the bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess homes not their own. Habakkuk 1, verses 2 to 6, Modern King James Version. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall see, which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Acts 13, 37 to 41. Because you have said, Jehovah has raised us up prophets in Babylon, so says Jehovah, of the king who sits in the throne of David, and of all the people who dwelt in this city, and of your brothers who have not gone out with you into captivity. So says Jehovah of hosts, Behold, I will send on them the sword, the famine, and the plague, and I will make them like worthless figs which cannot be eaten from badness. And I will pursue them with the sword, with the famine, and with the plague, and I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and a waste and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not listened to my words, says Jehovah, which I sent to them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending. But you would not hear, says Jehovah. And hear the words of Jehovah, all you exiles, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. So says Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, about Ahab, the son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah, the son of Malachi, who prophesy a lie to you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall kill them before your eyes. And a curse shall be taken up from them by all the exiles of Judah who are in Babylon, saying, May Jehovah make you like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have committed evil in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. For I am he who knows, and a witness, says Jehovah. Jeremiah 29, verses 15 to 23, Modern King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 12. Grace, favor and blessing, to you and heart peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. In every prayer of mine, I always make my entreaty and petition for all with joy, delight. I thank my God for your fellowship, your sympathetic cooperation and contributions in partnership in advancing the good news of the gospel from this first day you heard it until now. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Philippians 1, verses 2 to 6, Amplified Bible. Let all the earth fear the Lord, revere and worship him. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to naught. He makes the thoughts and plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart through all generations. Psalm 33, 8 to 11, Amplified Bible. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8, 24 to 28. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come. He that shall come, and will not tarry. Hebrews 10, 35 to 37. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Hebrews 1, verses 8 to 12. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard about that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 26. And Scriptures. Vision. The earth lay in its infancy in pieces, each part being created part by part. In the midst of the earth was the Lord standing in the midst of the earth that he alone was creating, laying through the center of the earth a huge beam. This beam formed the foundation of the earth, and also at the same time formed a timeline in the earth. I saw that the Lord laid out this beam, and then built the earth around it. As the beam lay, the Lord would stretch himself first one way, then the other way, over the length of the beam, anointing it with his presence, and placing it accurately within his perfect will as to what the beam would do and how the beam would be used in time as a factor displaying both his person and his will. The earth was founded upon this beam, even the will of the Lord, and everything that was built out from that point was built in his will, according to the plan that he had laid out upon it. This beam represented to me the fact that his will is being done in the earth, even as we speak, and that it is according to the plan he laid out, even from the foundation of the world. As I looked at this beam, I noticed that there was upon it a course of flowing blood, even the blood of the Lord, who was as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Therefore, everything that was built upon the beam outward was built with the covenant of blood, being the first part and the last part. All was washed and contained in the blood of this covenant, which blood covered the beam and vision. Our Heavenly Father is not going to waste anything at all in this world. He is taking all that is in the earth and in the lives of men and nations, righteous and good or base and evil, and He will waste none of it. As we open up the next part of the study on the mystery of His will, we will see that the Lord is in total, perfect control one way, then in total, perfect control another way. That He is in control of all that is based in the counsel of His will, and that He will, in time, bring all that He has strayed outside of His will back into that total, perfect control. There is a doctrine in our day which I term super sovereignty. This doctrine states that no matter what is taking place in the earth, the Lord is in total perfect control of it. This doctrine states this as a fact and as a rule by which we can rest in the Lord, knowing that He will do His perfect will as relates to the nations in this present creation. Yet in this doctrine is a willing lack of intelligent understanding as to what the Lord's total perfect control truly is. To understand this, one must realize that there are two portions to the Lord's will, which portions address His control. These portions, taken separately, both relate to the mystery of His will, but they are not to be taken out of context. Otherwise, the doctrine of control becomes tainted and lukewarm, and men who hold to that doctrine allow not their lives to be seen as the standard of righteousness. The Lord had one will which worked in the creation of the earth, and another will which was seen when men began to populate the earth. In both cases, understanding and wisdom is needed to see how the Lord is working all things in total, complete, and perfect control. It was the will of the Lord for the earth to be created and for a garden to be fashioned in which He created man, even Adam, to dress and keep this garden. This is very important for us to understand as we are at a time where we will be brought back to this beginning point. The Lord has moved now to destroy all the ways of men and to end the world as we know it. His will is in motion to destroy all that man built outside of that garden. This destruction is beginning in the earth right now, even as I pen these pages. This destruction from the Lord is part of His second will, seen when men begin to populate the earth. With your own eyes, you will see the destruction of this modern world, but you will also see the will of the Lord and its demise. When the Lord created all the trees of the garden in Genesis, you will note that He made all of them, including the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ordaining that man would eat also of that tree, even though He forbade it. He made it to be eaten, and this tree is working in our day in an expanse that is according to His perfect will. The Lord has circumvented all nations and every man everywhere, no matter who they were, having partaken of its fruit. No man is able of his own will to say he did not eat the forbidden fruit that Adam ate. For all mankind has eaten this fruit, and this fruit has come completely to the full. The will of the Lord was that the fruit of this tree would be totally matured, fully grown, and fully expanded into all humanity. That fruit was what the Lord initially desired in His will. Yet, in the will He uses to expose good and evil, He designed it to be eaten and to manifest itself. Yes, that's right. The Lord had one part of His will to say, "Do not eat of it," but another part of His will said, "Eat it and die." The Lord in his will needed both to happen so we would learn the difference between the Lord's will and truth and the Lord's will being resisted by men who have ingested the fruit of good and evil. Just as the fruit has grown out on the branches of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil into the full measure in men, so has the Lord in his will exposed it as contrary to his will. Yet in our day, men do not believe that they walk in good and evil. They have become gods unto themselves, entities that need no other ruler. I say to you that the Spirit of the Lord is moving now in the earth to bring mankind to the knowledge of his will by exposing to man the lack that he has outside of his will. In other words, man, thinking himself to be full, will now be shown in his nakedness and his blindness and poverty. This will happen by the shakings taking place in the world at this present time and by the collapse of man's systems. The Lord is shaking the fruit off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The fruit is falling and is splattering upon the ground. Mankind, very quickly, during this time we are in, will realize their need for their Heavenly Father. The axe is laid to the root of this tree. It is about to be completely be removed from mankind. You will see this happen, and nothing will be able to stop it from being removed from men. So then, to clarify this to you, in saying that the Lord is in total perfect control of all things, you have made a true statement when you realize that everything affected by good and evil will be brought into his will. All things which worked as good is not accepted by the Lord. All things that worked as evil is not accepted by the Lord. Both good and evil is not what the Lord was looking for, but he ordained it to happen. He did this so that mankind would learn one simple thing, that the perfect will of the Lord is that everything abides in life, not under the influence of man's own way. The workers of good and evil are the workings of man's own way. The working of life from the Father is the Lord's way. In both cases, men are still free spirits, but not under the influence of forbidden fruit in Father's perfect will. These things are important to understand. If you do not get what it was just written in this paragraph, go read it again very slowly so you will understand, and I suggest the paragraph before as well. The Lord set a timeline in which he included his own will. He subjected his will to the same timeline, creating it in such a way as to show his sovereign will at the beginning and then his learned will later on, as men sought after the Lord. In the first paper on the mystery of his will, I wrote that we seek, learn, do. Now it must be understood that only those who realize they have the fruit of good and evil in them, and who have been convinced of this by the Holy Spirit, who convinces them of this negativity, that these ones are the only ones who can seek the true will of the Lord. I dare say that these ones who come to this place of seeking his perfect will are the ones who come into his total perfect control. If mankind is not seeking his will, then you cannot say that mankind, abiding in the fruit of good and evil, would be able to be under his total perfect control. Instead, they are wild beasts with nothing tamed. All they do is rejected, and nothing they do is approved. Their lists of fleshly murders and lusts only confirm the fact that they are not in the Lord's total perfect control. The jaws of hell are gaped wide open to receive the nations because they have forgotten the Lord and they know not his will. They are apostate, every one of them, and they are cast out as refuge and as lost before the Father. If a man goes insane in criminal madness and commits horrendous crimes, you cannot say that that man is under the total, perfect control of the Lord. But if you see the Lord draw that man in time, whether here or in his time, in the time of restitution of all creation, then and only then can you say that he has come under the Lord's total, perfect control. But until he is drawn to walk towards the Lord, being brought there by the drawing power of his love, then that man cannot be seen as abiding in the control of the Father. So in other words, man is outside the Lord's perfect will, but the Lord works to bring them into his perfect will. Once the Lord begins to draw a person to that will, then they are in his total, perfect control. What do you suppose the lake that burns with fire and brimstone will do? It will burn off of mankind the stubborn will, which is contrary to the Lord's will. It will take that which the Lord subjected man to, death, and will burn its bonds off. The flames of fire will lick the lashes of cords that have bound men in rebellion, and will dispose of these cords as one would burn refuge in a hot, scorching fire. It is a rebellious will maintained by ignorance that is burned. The same standard of burning happens to the overcomer. They are baptized in the very same fire. The fire that constitutes the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and the fire upon the brow of the overcomer, are the very same kind of fire. In both cases, whether it be the overcomer or the sinful nation, the cords of ignorance as to the will of the Lord are burned off. It is this burning, such is the ordination in fire. No one will escape it. So the picture of creation goes this way. The Lord, in beginning in total perfect will, which has neither variableness nor shadow of turning, created the world in such a way as to allow the world to be totally ignorant of this perfect will. Men then are separate from that perfect will until the Lord comes to them and draws them each back unto himself. It is then that the will of the Lord is once again discovered. The seek, learn, do that I mentioned in the last writing. In the meanwhile, man is apart from the Lord and ignorant of his will. One cannot say that the Lord is at that time in total perfect control of everything relating to man during this apostate phase. Yet the Lord is in sovereignty, moves by his Spirit to bring that apostate man back into his total perfect control, or if you will, to seek and to learn and to do the will of the Lord. This only happens when the Lord moves upon them to draw them to this, each man in his own order. That is the truth of the Lord's power of total perfect control. It has been, is, and will be in each life. So now, to gain a further understanding on the will of the Lord, one must realize that the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil has fully run its course. The fruit is fully ripe, and it is now dropping from the branches. This fruit has brought mankind to the time of great judgment. Enter the next tree in his will, the tree of life. This is the tree that each one, in due order, will turn to. This tree is a tree that centers itself in the full discovery of the will of the Lord, which will, made plain to the seeker, will manifest as the life of Jesus in them. Now, I dare say that we have a conundrum in our day that is unprecedented in world history. That is that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is being cast down by the Spirit of the Lord as vile to the ground, not fit for further consumption. But the fruit on the tree of life is still growing. It is not yet fully matured in all humanity, but it is being matured fully in those who are termed overcomers. That fruit is coming to full measure in them. The conundrum is that the overcomer, for the most part, is unaware or ignorant of the growing fruit of the tree of life in them. Rather than seeing this fruit fully mature in them, they are riding the storm, so to speak, of the Lord's judgment of the vile fruit they first were partaken of, the fruit of good and evil. The conundrum is in the turning from the one to the other. As the world rocks about like a ship on a stormy sea around them, and as their circumstances are so very cruel and negative, the overcomer cannot fathom that there is anything worthwhile of his life in them, or if you will, of the tree of life in themselves. Instead, they see the pressures increasing and the world closing in, and the life they wanted in the Lord seems to be opposite of their true heart's desire. This stormy existence is the end of your good and evil fruit. Allow me to say that again. This stormy existence is the end of your good and evil fruit. Now hear me again, for I am prophesying this unto you. The end of the fruit of good and evil has come in the life of the overcomer. Little do we realize that we are about to be split in two. That one part of us, which was outside the knowledge of his will, shall be killed. But the other part, which is born of the Spirit, shall remain. This is about to take place, and when it does, the Lord will appear and will perfect that which concerns us, even bringing us forth as those filled up with the will of the Father. Know, dear reader of this page, that the fruit of the tree of life in you is there. It is still growing, but it is a growth that will never end. This is all you will have left for fruit in you beside the other trees of the garden which we are free to eat, which trees are all the graces and glories of your person in the Lord. The areas of your soul which will manifest themselves in a wonderful, endless measure, filled with the life of Father in his perfect will. The world right now is coming to a head in being readied for the judgment of the Lord against the fruit of good and evil. But the overcomer, hidden away in their closet of prayer, will emerge with the fruit of the tree of life, fully growing on the branches of life in their souls, and there will be no fruit of good and evil left in them. This will be the most incredible display shown to creation since the Lord made man in his image, and this image will restore all other things. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.